Jordan Dance!
Bring him up, gang. Bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Austin Dillon says, take this one away from me, why don't you? Alex Bowman feels the heat. And how do you like the All-Star race moving to Dover? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, and Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Lee and Reed here. Man, we got a lot to unpack this week going into this regular season finale for the Cup Series. And, well, let's talk about Austin Dillon. And as I said in the open, he says, take this one away, why don't you? He backed up his win at Richmond. He was impressive last year. Really didn't need to do what he did, but he did it. And this year he came back impressive again. And, you know, he comes from way back and once again steals a playoff spot, but he's going to keep it this time.
He is, and Austin called it a race redemption, right? Because he won fair and square, and he had the car to do it. I mean, when he was battling the other drivers, he could easily get out to a three-second lead, and it just seemed like no problem. He made it look effortless, and so I think to have the opportunity to go out there without dumping somebody to get a spot, well-earned and well-deserved.
Well, I would argue that he did have to do what he did last year to win the race, because on the final lap, Joey Logano had a car length lead coming off of turn two, and Austin just buried it into the corner and took no prisoners. And then Denny happened to be in the way too, so Denny had to be shoved out of the way in order for Austin to be first across the finish line. Of course, he got nothing for that effort last year in terms of playoff eligibility. But this year he ran a wonderful race. I mean, that battle with Ryan Blaney that lasted about 30 laps when they were running side by side, Austin on the inside, Blaney on the outside for the most part, was the most entertaining short track racing we've seen all year. And I think Goodyear can be credited for a lot of that, bringing a tire that really did fall off a cliff after about 35 laps, and NASCAR only providing 8 sets of tires for the race. And so consequently, they had to be very thoughtful about how to preserve the rubber and when to use the tires. And it really affected strategy and made the race really interesting to watch, as well as compelling for the racing itself.
Yeah, I thought the third stage was riveting.
Oh, absolutely. And Goodyear had no tires in reserve, and I got a call from one of the tire specialists on one of the teams Saturday morning, and he said 35 laps is about all the goodie these guys are going to have. And I think when Ryan Preece really pushed it to try to go the full distance, he showed it could be done, but I don't think it helped him in the long run. So I agree with Reed. The tires were absolutely imperative to what we saw this past weekend. They should try to find some use of that compound if it correlates at other short tracks, because short tracks is really where the next gen car has suffered. We've been exceptionally good with the intermediate package with this car, but other than that, it's been a struggle just trying to find the way. If they can work a little bit more with the tire, work a little more with the horsepower, maybe we can finally get to a point where the next-gen car shines on other venues other than the intermediate tracks.
Well, that's the thing the drivers have been asking for. The drivers have been asking for it to be put back in their hands, and that's what tire management does.
It absolutely does. And if things go as we anticipate they will, and they add about 75 more horsepower back into the engines on the short track package, then I think we'll be getting somewhere. I think the tire fall off was attributable at Richmond primarily because you've got old abrasive asphalt there. Whether they can adapt that to a concrete track like Bristol remains to be seen, but we saw a race where the tires fell off even more dramatically. At Bristol, it turned out to be the best Bristol race that we've seen in a while last year when it, you know, in the spring race there, when the tires went away even more rapidly. So, I mean, it can be done. And then would love to see that same thing at Martinsville and Phoenix for the final two races this year.
But do they need to add the horsepower if we're seeing this kind of tire fall off producing this kind of racing?
I think they do, because I think it puts it even more into the driver's hands, because what what they have to avoid with greater horsepower is wheel spin off the corners. And that's another way where they have to manage the tires.
And Lee, as you look at it, and Austin Dillon, obviously, very impressive performance. And I think he was a guy, I mean, we knew he would be good at Richmond, but I don't know that he was the guy that was on people's radar before the race. I know people were talking about Kyle Busch, people were talking about Brad Keselowski. And I don't know that he was the guy that people were looking at as the guy that was going to play spoiler for especially the RFK guys who were the ones sitting there on the cut line.
I really think Austin Dillon came in under the radar, which was good for him because, you know, nobody's really disseminating his data like they were other people, which kind of gave him an advantage. Sometimes it's good to be the guy that's under the radar and just kind of sneak in and get the job done. And I think Austin Dillon did just that.
And Austin Dillon, I mean, face it, he got a couple of breaks during that race, too. Number one being when Daniel Suarez hit Ty Gibbs and it wrecked Tyler Reddick, who had a fast car and was in the lead at the time. Next was the wheel falling off of Bubba Wallace's car. Bubba had a rocket ship during that race. And so that took two important contenders out of the equation. And I think that opened the door for Austin to show what he had and to win the race.
I found it interesting after the race how much talk there was about how involved Austin is in the management level at RCR, how much time he's spending with his grandfather saying, talking about how things need to be run and how things need to be run differently and talking about how the fact that sometimes they go toe-to-toe in this thing and they don't agree. And he says, we need to be doing it this way. And his grandfather goes, no, we need to do it this way. And maybe a couple of days later that RC might come back and say, you know what, I've thought about it, you're right. But I don't know that people were aware that Austin was this involved in the running of things at RCR.
Well, I think he absolutely has to be because this is his legacy. One day he's going to run it. RC is not, you know, he may be still full of piss and vinegar, but he's not that young man that threatened to burn down your house when you write something that he doesn't like. He doesn't have...
That happened.
That, you know, he...
To a friend?
He just doesn't, you know, have the energy he once did. I mean, none of us are going to when we get to be his age, right? I mean, so... It's good that he is taking the time to mentor Austin now. And if Austin can bring in a youthful exuberance along with looking how to modernize the system, because let's face it, ever since Dale Earnhardt died and after Kevin Harvick left, they have not been contenders. They've been that little team up on the hill. And even though they're a GM key partner, they have not been somebody that is breathing down your neck. They had flashes of brilliance with Tyler Reddick on road courses. We thought Kyle Busch might be somebody that turned it around. On the other side of that, I will say, at Dover, RC vowed to turn the ship around. And if he's going to turn it around, it's not going to be RC who does it. It's going to be the next generation because they're invested in having it go well because that's their future.
And it was at Dover that RC came on the radio at the end of the race after a very poor performance by both drivers where he said, we've got to build better cars. And I wonder if that's some of Austin's influence, and I wonder if that's something that the two of them knocked heads on, as Austin referred to in his presser after the race at Richmond.
Well, it's interesting to see and interesting to hear. One thing I want to talk about when we come back is now Austin has now locked himself into the playoffs, and as much angst as we heard from a lot of fans about Shane Van Gisbergen being a guy who, he's got four wins now. He's 24th in the playoff standings. And, you know, when he got his first win, he was in the 30s. Austin Dillon is 25th. He's below SVG in the standings now. But I'm not hearing the angst from the fans. And I want to get your guys' thoughts. Is it maybe time for NASCAR to reconsider this winning your end policy for the playoffs? Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Taggett. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoffs.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you, guys, so much.
This is PRN.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service, Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right. I said going into the break, we got Austin Dillon, 25th in the standings. He's in the playoffs. SVG, 24th in the standings, who, oh, by the way, has four wins. He's in the playoffs. A lot of folks have been upset about this and the fact that SVG was in the playoffs when he was 32nd in the point standings. Is it time, Reed, for NASCAR to rethink this win and you're in?
Well, I mean, considering that that's what people asked for years, was to elevate the value of a win. Okay, so they did. Nobody's ever satisfied with anything, and everything has unintended consequences. So, you know, but here we are with SVG. We've heard the complaints about, you know, road course specialist, you know, one trick pony getting into the playoffs. Well, you could say that Austin Dillon is a Richmond specialist and he's in the playoffs with one win. The thing is that he drives the number three car for Richard Childress Racing. It's a Chevrolet as well as SVG's. But there's a history there. And I don't think anybody has raised an issue with Austin Dillon winning the race and getting in the playoffs. You know, he's not a Kiwi from down under. And
yeah.
So, you know, and he's a traditional NASCAR driver from a traditional NASCAR team. You know, I think that there is some innate prejudice, you know, for
some, think?
For you know, someone coming in and winning four road course races.
That doesn't sound like they do. And, you know, we saw this when Lee Diffie took over, the same thing.
Yes.
Who is this guy? Yeah. Let me tell you, boys and girls, we have media availabilities every week where drivers come in and they talk to the media, they exchange questions, what have you. The only TV analyst I've seen all year that comes in regularly for those events is Lee Diffie. He does his homework. He does whatever he can to understand it. And if you want to crap on SVG because he wasn't born in this country, his dad went to Knoxville to see the Knoxville Nationals before he came to Watkins Glen. It doesn't get any more Americana than open wheel dirt track racing. So that's my, I'm off my soapbox now, but I just, take it all in. Leave your house every now and then. See the world. There are other people out there.
Well, I said it last week. I said the guy was put in this car, and we knew last year when he was put in this car, we expected he would make the playoffs because he'd win a road course race or two. He's won four. He's doing what he was put in that car to do. And, oh, by the way, He finished, what, 16th last week at Richmond? He's getting better 14th. On these 14th. He's getting better on the oval tracks. He says Darlington's his favorite track. He's about to go to Darlington in race one of the playoffs. I think the guy's got a better than even chance of getting past the first round of the playoffs. And, oh, by the way, we all know the Roval's in the second round.
Well, and going into the last race, he's got 22 playoff points. Now, we know that William Byron, having clinched the regular season championship, is going to go from at least 17 to 32.
Right.
But SVG is going to be in the top five in terms of number of playoff points the way things stack up now. He's got 22 to play with. He's not going to get any for regular season because of his ranking, but that could be enough of a cushion in that first round to carry him through. And then, of course, we get to the Roval at the end of the second round. So it's entirely conceivable that he could be in the round of eight.
He is a student of the sport. He goes over and analyzes the data, probably more so than anyone. You will hear his teammates and other drivers talk about how he studies everything. And his girlfriend, she works for Chevrolet or General Motors. And so he's got somebody, you know, he's got a secret weapon because she understands everything that's going on with these cars and can help him understand it if he doesn't on his own. And so it's kind of like where he goes, he's only going to get better the second time around. We saw it when he went to Atlanta. He had top 10 results in both of the stages. He got wrecked. Had he not, who knows where he could have been. But I really think that he is working his tail off to be the best possible driver he can be. Do I expect him to excel on ovals, you know, like a Denny Hamlin or a Kyle Larson? At some point, he's going to get there. He's not, you know, he may not be at that level, but he's going to win on an oval one day, mark my words.
And he's got a methodology. I mean, he basically started out looking at SMT data, went from there to actually jumping in Legends cars during the summer shootout and racing Legends cars to get the feel of a stock car and the limits that he could drive the car to. Now what he's doing is going and actually looking at video of old races. And that's the next step for him. And he's learned quite a bit. Scott McLaughlin, his buddy, who's also from New Zealand, who is a star in IndyCar, says that he watches every race that SVG drives and that he's made an enormous improvement on the ovals. He will only get better at it because he's got enormous talent. And, you know, I think you can expect him, maybe not this year, but certainly next, to advance deep into the playoffs.
Well, Lee, you know, as we talked about at the top of the segment, some fans are clamoring for this winning your end thing to go away. I don't want to see it go away. Think about how it would change the storyline going into Daytona this week. Because right now, you got Alex Bowman sitting there. Yeah, he's plus 60 over the cut line. And Tyler Reddick's plus 89. Neither of them are completely safe at this point in time.
Absolutely not.
But think how that would change the storyline going into this. Because right now, anybody behind them who's a full-time driver in this series could win and put themselves in the playoffs. We saw it last year in the last couple of, you know, Harrison Burton won at Daytona, which last year was the second to last race. Then, you know, Chase Briscoe wins the last race. I mean, that would take a lot of the drama out of this week's race if you knew that, if Daniel Suarez won, well, yeah, but he's so far down the standings, it doesn't really mean anything.
Where is the anticipation? I mean, because that's what we're looking for, right? There wouldn't be the excitement going into Daytona. Yeah, it's going to put on a hell of a show, but we don't know who number 16 might be. And so we may not know who number 15 might be. So it's to have that kind of build up going into the final race of the regular season, it's all something we're here for.
Well, we know that Bowman or Reddick will be in the playoffs. Perhaps and probably both, my opinion, because there are 15 guys who are ahead of Bowman any of whom can win, and Bowman's in the playoffs. But if you look at the last nine, I believe it is, summer races at Daytona, most of them have been won by people who would now be below the cut line, as in Austin Dillon, as in Ricky Stenhouse Jr., as in Justin Haley, you know, when you're going back. So any of those guys who are good super speedway racers could come up and win. And you're right. There would be no suspense otherwise, because nobody below Bowman can possibly get in on points.
Right. He's 60, because 60 is the max.
Right. And to get 60, you've got to win. So
actually, I guess 61's the max now. Yeah. You could have the fastest lap.
But 56 is the magic number if you don't win.
Right.
So he's in on points if nobody wins below him.
Right. So, you know, I think I see no reason at all why you would want to change this, because the incentive is to win.
And the suspense is gone from the regular season championship as well, because Kyle Larson finished dead last at Watkins Glen and Chase Elliott finished dead last at Richmond, and that tied it up.
I mean, look at the truck race.
For Bowman.
We had three guys still eligible going in. You know, yeah, Corey Heim did Corey Heim things, right? Yeah. He won the race, but you didn't know until the race was over who was going to be the last person into the truck series.
Absolutely right.
Yep. And that's the way it should be. I have no problem with it. Well, that's our Pit Reporter question this week is, should NASCAR tweak its win and your in playoff system? Yes or no? Last week, we asked you, what should be done to clean up Watkins Glen? And we had a tie. 38% said bring back gravel pits, and 38% said nothing. And 23% said track limits. So we got nothing and bring back gravel pits.
And track limits is impossible, because they can't prevent them from running over the curbs there. I mean, that would, you can imagine turn one.
Should have put jersey barriers down there.
Yeah.
That'd stop it.
That's a track limit.
That's a big track limit. When we come back, the 2026 schedule is out. We'll talk about that. Stay with us.
Are you looking for the cheapest prices on car insurance? Then call the Cheap Car Insurance Hotline right now. Hey, you're guaranteed to save money on your car insurance. Most car insurances can be canceled at any time. That means if you find a better deal, you can switch right away. We're not just one company. We offer most of the major brands of car insurance. We're like a discount supermarket for car insurance. And it doesn't matter if you have a good record or a bad driving record. Our agents are experts at finding you the right car insurance for your needs. Our average customer saves hundreds of dollars a year when they call us to switch. So why don't you make this 100% free call right now and see how much you can save on your car insurance.
800-419-1971. 800-419-1971. 800-419-1971. 1971. That's 800-419-1971.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
My fiance is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk.
We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes, and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning, and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Race fans, head over to echopark.com/speedway and you can enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now and you can drive off a winner. And welcome back to the Pit Reporters along with Lee Spencer from catchfence.com and also Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, and Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, the 2026 schedule is out this week. Some changes to the schedule. The beginning of the schedule, pretty much the same as it has been in the past. It had already been announced that Bowman Gray was going to host the Busch Clash, Bud Shootout, whatever we call it these days. Two off weekends next year, one for Easter and one the first weekend in August. The one change that had come out late last week, Jordan Bianchi was first to report it, I think, that the All-Star race is going to be leaving North Wilkesboro. North Wilkesboro will get a points race next year, and the All-Star race is moving to Dover. Lee, what are your thoughts on that?
I just haven't been able to process all the tentacles that kind of go out with that. It's... You kind of think of, well, it was a really great thing at North Wilkesboro, but North Wilkesboro puts on such a good show. Do you want to have it as a points race? And it's tough on one way because Dover's only down to one race. And how much traffic are you going to be able to attract for an all-star race? And it just really depends what they put with it. They're going to have to make it an attractive ticket, I think, to get people down there to take it all in. What is going to be the hook that drives people to Dover for the All-Star race?
Well, one advantage would be it's going to be back in May as opposed to the middle of July. That helps.
That helps Dover for sure.
Yeah.
And the reason that it's back in May is because the All-Star race basically belongs to the Fox portion of the schedule. So the interesting thing to me is where Watkins Glen goes theoretically, if the schedule that has been leaked is correct, Watkins Glen goes before that Dover race.
Yeah, May 10th. Yeah.
And so you may have a package up there in the Northeast where you can go to the Finger Lakes and then drive to Dover for the All-Star race. The other thing is that Dover does not have lights, so the All-Star race will not be a night race.
That hasn't happened since one hot night. The first time it was under the lights.
That's absolutely right. And the reason that Dover doesn't have lights is because the Air Force base is next door, and it's a targeting issue, or at least it was during the Cold War. So we'll see about that, but it's a day race. And so I think, you know, the Watkins Glen, Dover, Charlotte stretch is going to be interesting.
I talked about this last year after the All-Star race at Martinsville or at North Wilkesboro, when a lot of folks were, oh yeah, it needs a points race. I don't know that we've seen a great race at North Wilkesboro yet. You know, we've seen Logano kind of run away with it. We've seen some guys kind of pull away and take a big lead. And for folks to come out and say, we need to see a points race now. Well, that means going from 200 laps to 400 laps. And I'm of the firm belief, Lee, that more isn't necessarily better. And I don't know that 400 laps at North Wilkesboro is going to be more entertaining than 200 laps at North Wilkesboro. I think the All-Star race was a perfect fit for North Wilkesboro, and I'm not convinced that, you know, I'm like Reed, they're going to have to do something spectacular to draw fans, I think, to Dover.
Oh, no, I mean, I completely agree with it. It's going to have to, you're going to have to find a way to make it sexy. And as a points race, you know, it was sexy. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it in the playoffs. That's, you know, I think that's a better position for it to make it sexy. I mean, I think that's a good fall race. But, you know, nobody wants to give up playoffs. It's just a matter of placement. But on the other side of that, that also means that at least when you go to North Wilkesboro, hopefully you'll get some relief from the heat because you're kind of up in the Piedmont, right? I mean, it's a little bit cooler up that way than it would be like down in Charlotte, what have you. But it's going to be interesting to see how people react to a North Wilkesboro. And where it is actually, I think, good for the Team Penske group, because that's the type of track where they excel at. I mean, we saw it at Richmond. We saw, you know, how good all Team Penske cars were. All four of them finished in the top eight. So, you know, where that comes in the calendar, it might, you know, benefit them, even though no longer is Phoenix going to be the season finale next year. It certainly helps to have your, you know, shorter, you know, right around mile length track program in good shape.
And I think, you know, I have hope for North Wilkesboro being a points race, because number one, I do want to see a longer race there. I want to see tire management come into play there. I want to see what kind of tire Goodyear brings. And if they do the same kind of thing that they accomplished at Richmond, then it should be an interesting race. And by the time we get there in July of next year, it will have had two more years to age the pavement, which was put down for the first All-Star race in the first place. So, you know, I have hopes for that. I agree with you that the racing hasn't been scintillating, and certainly the first year Larson just completely ran away with it. But, you know, let's see what a longer race looks like there. It's certainly worth trying.
All right, when we come back, we know that Chicago Street Course is off. Chicago Land is back, so where does it land? Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on goprn.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service, Lee Spencer from CatchVince.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, talking about the 2026 NASCAR schedule. We talked about the San Diego Street Course, or Naval Base Course, whatever we're going to call it. Street Course on the Naval Base without water. It's going to be Father's Day weekend. Then the next weekend is Sonoma, so another mini West Coast swing, and again, like this year, kind of back-to-back street road courses like we had with Chicago this year. And then 4th of July weekend, back to Chicago, except it's Chicagoland Speedway, Reed, which has not been run at, what, 5 years?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's going to be interesting because I've talked to some people who've been working on infrastructure there, and it's in pretty good shape. They need to mow some grass, but given the fact that the next gen or Gen 7 car has been performing so well on the intermediate speedways, I think adding another intermediate speedway back to the schedule is a really good idea. And I think, you know, given the age of the pavement at Chicagoland now, it's going to put on a really good race.
And it's a more economically feasible race for people to go to. The hotels in Joliet and the surrounding bedroom communities of Chicago certainly aren't as pricey as the ones in downtown Chicago.
And then you look into August and New Hampshire out of the playoffs this year. They're in the playoffs this year, out of the playoffs next year, but they'll be the second to last race of the regular season. It'll be Richmond, New Hampshire, and then Daytona to finish up the regular season. So that's going to be an interesting spot for New Hampshire going into August, which is, I think, is a date it's never had before.
No, I don't think it has because, it, I mean, it has been in the playoffs before.
Which it is this year, yeah.
Which it is this year. And then it's been back in July quite a bit during the more recent years. But I think that's going to be a very interesting situation for that because it will be an extremely important race following Richmond and being the last conventional race before the Super Speedway at Daytona.
And certainly stuff you learn at Richmond can play over into Loudon since it's one of the flatter one-mile tracks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And then in the playoffs, once again, Gateway's going to be in the playoffs again. Bristol again, Kansas. Then Las Vegas moves to the week before the Roval instead of the week after the Roval. Then the Roval wraps up round two. And then the round of eight is going to be Phoenix, Talladega, and Martinsville. So Phoenix goes from the last race, which is going to be Homestead, as we know. And then Phoenix was going to open the round of eight, so they stay towards the end of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix was assured by NASCAR when it lost or when it was told that Homestead was going to get the final race that Phoenix would remain a prominent playoff spot on the schedule. And so consequently, you know, being in the round of eight, the round that determines the championship four is a nice plum for Phoenix to have. And it'll be fun to visit Phoenix that time of year as well.
I'm not crazy about Talladega being in the round of eight, though. I think it's still too much of a wild card. I wish there was something a little more traditional in that spot, but it's going to be fun for the fans. It'll be exciting to see who survives Talladega because, you know, we always say Daytona being the cutoff race is a wild card. I kind of look at Talladega the same way.
Well, at least it's not the last race. At least you got a chance to recover from it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk real quickly. You mentioned earlier, Lee, about the Truck Series. Of course, the regular season finale for them was at Richmond last weekend. And Corey Heim did Corey Heim things. He's the only Toyota in the playoffs. But I tell you, it's
Caden Honeycutt's in the playoffs, driving for Halmar Friesen Racing. So
yes,
that's right.
You have two Toyotas.
So you have two Toyotas. That's right. He has made the playoffs. And so, yeah, he's the ninth guy in the playoffs. And then Jake Garcia made the playoffs as kind of the fill-in for Stuart Friesen, I guess, because Stuart Friesen would have made the playoffs as a driver, but since he can't drive, another driver made the playoffs in his place. But it's got to be hard to think about anybody else winning the Truck Series Championship. But again, as we talked about earlier, it's one race. Anything can happen in one race.
You say that, and this is the only just really bugaboo in this whole system is the fact that you have someone as stellar as Corey Heim and what he's accomplished this year, and he could be completely out of it. I mean, the same thing happened to William Byron in the Truck Series when he had the six wins and didn't transfer. That being said, you also have Daniel Hemric, who in 2021 won the Xfinity Series race, having never won any race in the top three tiers until he took the lead from Austin Cindric on the final lap at Phoenix. And so, and overtime, I might add. So it can be done, but it is just, you know, it's just too, I don't know the proper word, just, you just can't really touch it, feel it, put a value to what it means having run so well over the course of the 31 races that you had to go to get in there, or 32 races.
To compare it to other sports, you know, the New England Patriots were undefeated until the Super Bowl, and it didn't matter at that point.
Yeah, but they only had to beat one opponent. And basically, in any game, any playoff, in terms of the NFL or whatever, the teams go in already dead even from the start of the playoffs to the end of the playoffs. Now, I noticed that you've already got Corey Heim written into the championship four in indelible ink. He's got 65 playoff points going in, so it would be hard to even conceive of a situation where he doesn't make it to Phoenix. But you know, and what he's accomplished this year with 7 wins and 15 stage wins, for him not to be the champion to me would be an injustice. It really would, and that's, you know, it makes a great argument against basically one race for the championship.
And we hear time and again that for a lot of these drivers, and Denny Hamlin, and of course Denny Hamlin's going to say it, right, because he has not been in the championship four, but for a lot of these drivers, just making it to Phoenix and being one of those four competitors, that's pretty much your season. If you got that far and you were one of those four, then you accomplished quite a bit.
And oftentimes you can't control what happens in that one race, and it just so happens that Phoenix may not be your best track, but you have to race there for the championship no matter what you've accomplished for the rest of the year.
Before we take a break and start talking about Daytona, any word on what Daniel Suarez's destination is for next year?
Wow.
Speculation.
Speculation. You know, Spire's come up, JRM's come up, but nothing to report as of yet.
Has he backed down at all on, you know, he said early on, I don't want to be in Xfinity Series, I want to be in the Cup Series. Has he backed down from that at all?
I haven't heard him back down from that, but, you know, I would still think that perhaps JRM is the most likely destination.
All right. We'll see where it all turns out. I mean, everybody you talk to, when you talk to him, he just doesn't seem to be concerned. It's like he knows where he's going to be.
He's the type of guy that concentrates on that week, right? Yep. So whatever race is coming up, because he's one where if you ask him about a race that's 2 weeks from now, I'm not thinking about that. I'm laser focused on the weekend. And I think he's just trying to put his best foot forward so people say, okay, he can still get the job done. He's a lame duck, but he's not mailing it.
And the thing is, he may well have been working towards something that we don't know about for a long time, because he knew the writing was on the wall back at the early part of the season when, you know, we were even as early as Phoenix that he might be out.
Yeah. So, all right, gonna be interesting to see how it all plays out. Just had to be patient. Maybe we have to be patient, but he already knows. Isn't that a twist?
That could be.
All right, Daytona ahead. Stay with us.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-859-0047. 800-859-0047. That's 800-859-0047.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickinshire on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race, or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
JC's Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And hey, welcome back. Lee Spencer is here, and also Reed Spencer is here. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right. If you are Tyler Reddick this week, Lee, do you just hook yourself to the bumper of Alex Bowman and say, I'm following you all day long, man, because he's only 29 points. He's 29 points ahead of Bowman, so he knows if he stays with Bowman all day long, there is no way he misses the playoffs.
No, if I'm Tyler Reddick, I look at it from the standpoint of I've got to have the best car, the best opportunity. I got to get out front and avoid all the riffraff and do whatever I can do to win this race. Yeah, there's a possibility that he gets knocked out. There's a possibility Bowman gets knocked out. I mean, any one of these guys are vulnerable. If you're not one of the top 14 guys right now, you're you know, you're in a rough spot. And so I think it's better just to run your own race. Sure, we're going to hear over the radio, hey, where does he, you know, how many points did he get in stage one? How many points did he get in stage two? What's it look like? What's the number? You hear that every year. But I think he just goes and tries to run his own race and see where the chips end up.
Well, if I'm Reddick, I'm going for points in the stages. I mean, that can solidify my place in the playoffs if I score significantly in stage one to stage two. If I'm Bowman, Bowman to me is in an all or nothing situation. I mean, he should try to win the race or hope that one of the drivers below him in the standings does not win, because he actually has three paths to the playoffs. One, if Reddick happens to wreck early like he did at Richmond, Bowman's 29 points behind Reddick, so he could pass him. He could win the race, and he could have one of the top 15 drivers ahead of him in the standings win the race, and he's in also on points. But the thing is, if you look at the last nine races, fall races, and most of them cutoff races at Daytona, your winners are people who need to win to get into the final race. They are Brad Keselowski, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Eric Jones, Justin Haley. Then you had Byron and Blaney, who've already won two of them, but Austin Dillon, who got in last week, then Chris Buescher, and then of course Harrison Burton last year. So it is entirely possible seven of the last nine have been won by drivers who probably needed to win to get in the playoffs.
So it's going to be interesting. I mean, as you look at that, there's the drama. And if you're Alex Bowman, and I heard this week William Byron say on Seriously that he said, look, all our efforts this week are towards getting the 48 the best finish he possibly can and keeping him out, you know, getting him out front and helping him. And when you get the muscle of Hendrick Motorsports trying to get that one car moving to the front, that's going to make it a big difference.
Well, it's not just Hendrick. It would be Spire. It would be the 47 car. I think they'll, you know, it's all hands on deck. I mean, but we've heard that for JGR trying to get Ty Gibbs in, gosh, what, the last 3 months? I mean, at least after Briscoe won, it was like, okay, we got the other guys in. Now we got to get Ty in too.
However, if I'm Spire Motorsports, I want to get McDowell or Justin Haley in.
Yeah.
Well, or Josevar.
Yeah, or Josevar. He's another one.
I mean, and I get all that, but you know how that is. It's going to be take care of your teammates, and you know, it's going to be the, what, 13 Musketeers or whatever.
I don't know. I mean, if I'm in the show.
Oh, no, I mean, I agree. It's going to be every man for himself. But if you can help somebody at, you know, some point in stage, I can guarantee you the Toyotas are going to be working together. The Fords are going to be working together because that's what they do on that style of racetrack.
But if I'm Michael McDowell, am I going to push Alex Bowman to the win?
No, I'm going to, you know, turn him and go for the checkers.
Right. So, yeah, there goes. So long, team. Yeah.
But, you know, they all have these meetings before they go into that style of racing where, you know, we're all going to work together until the last lap.
You know, until we don't.
Until we don't.
I mean, this is going to be, you know, because you talked about it, Lee. The manufacturers get them all together and they say, we're going to work together. This is super important. We got to get one of our brand into victory lane. But when you got a situation like this, you know, so if, let's put take Ford, for instance, where RFK has all three cars outside of the playoffs and desperately wants to get one of those cars in the playoffs. Then you got Front Row. All their cars are outside the playoffs. You know, maybe Penske's out running out front. Now, their cars are all in the playoffs already. Well, are you going to, you know, RFK going to push another Penske, is going to push Penske car to the victory lane? Not when they need one of theirs in victory lane. I mean, that's got to be headaches for a blue oval executive.
You betcha. But, I mean, that's what makes it so interesting. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun on Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's going to be wait and see racing. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, we'll have front row seats for it.
I mean, that's what's crazy about it. Any reason to believe, well, I mean, I shouldn't say any reason to believe. I mean, I would think you've got to make the Penske cars certainly among the favorites, even though, you know, Byron won there earlier this year at the Daytona 500. But the Penske cars always, they seem to understand this style of racing as well as anybody. I mean, Logano and Cindric, Blaney, all these guys seem to understand this style of racing.
They do, and they work really well together. I mean, there's only been a couple of times, and you mentioned Michael McDowell. That was one of the times when Joey and Brad didn't give each other enough breathing room, and McDowell stole the race, but he still won in a Ford, right?
Yeah,
it's like it's true. They all know how to put themselves in the proper place at the right time. What has changed the dynamic a little bit is simply the fact that Toyota now has two extra drivers. I haven't seen an entry list yet, so I don't know who the extra, you know, who's bringing on additional people to help. But it's going to be interesting to kind of see the lineups and see tally out how many for each manufacturer is going to show up.
Yeah, I mean, Toyota will be in the minority as they usually are in these races.
But better than they once were with Legacy.
But better than they were, yeah.
Well, and there you go again. Here's, you know, Reddick needs a win just to be safe.
Legacy.
And Legacy, all their guys need wins.
Yeah, and Eric Jones is as we saw has won at Daytona before, so he's a possibility.
Haley too.
Yeah, Haley too. But he's
brain shortened, but
yeah. He's Chevy now, so
but I'm
just, yeah.
That's what we love. Sit back and watch. Let them worry about it. Sit back and watch. And then all of them come out of the care center and go, it's a style of racing. What are you going to do about it?
that's right.
On to Darlington. All right. When we come back, white flag lap. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars. And I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And hey, welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up, from CatchFence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Lee Spencer.
Thank you. Sounds like we're getting closer to finding out who the new Dodge partner will be. The hot speculation has that team being Colleague Racing. They're emerging as the front runner for the Ram brand. Now, why they have a technical alliance with Richard Childress Racing, they are not a key partner under the GM banner. So you can't really blame them if they're exploring their options, because to get the key partner status is important, because we have so many factory-backed teams right now, and they're the cream of the crop in NASCAR.
But this is only for trucks next year.
This is only for trucks for next year.
So what does Colleague do? Stay Chevy, everything else?
Apparently, what I'm hearing behind the scenes is that they would still be good with their Chevrolet and Xfinity and Cup, why they build the Dodge brand.
Interesting. All right. We'll keep an eye out for that. Next up from the NASCAR Wire Service, Reed Spencer.
Mine is short and sweet, and all I have to say is thank you, and you did the right thing to Stuart Friesen, who did not apply for a waiver for the truck series playoffs, simply because he could have, and they could have played the game like, maybe, you know, we'll come back, but they didn't. They basically said before the final race, which is when it should have happened, that they were not going to apply for the waiver, even though applying for the waiver, had it been granted by NASCAR, would have netted them 10th place and a lot more money for the truck series because of the way they pay out there. So kudos to Stuart Friesen for basically doing the same thing that Kurt Busch did when he was injured, and that is bowing out of the playoffs and letting someone else, in this case Jake Garcia, take his place.
Yeah. Well, we talked a little bit about this, the All-Star race next year moving from North Wilkesboro to Dover, and North Wilkesboro getting a points-paying race for the first time since 1996. Now, I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I'm skeptical. I know that North Wilkesboro has had fair races as an All-Star event. And as I said earlier, I don't necessarily buy that more laps means a better event. And I hate it for the people at Dover that they're now saddled with an All-Star race that I don't know is going to excite the fans in the Dover area. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the folks in Dover get super excited about the All-Star race, that the team up there puts on an outstanding event, and that everybody gets excited about it, and that it's a wonderful evening all the way around, or a wonderful afternoon. It won't be an evening because they don't have lights. A wonderful afternoon all the way around. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe North Wilkesboro will put on a fantastic points race. We'll see. I'm a little bit skeptical, so we'll see how it all plays out. And oh, by the way, congratulations to Matt Crafton as he steps away from full-time racing at the end of this year. Won't be the same seeing that 88 truck out there without him in it. All right, Lee, real quickly, who do you like at Daytona this week?
The field.
The field.
The field. Whoa.
Reed, go.
I'll take Willie B.
All right. We'll see how it plays out. Thanks a lot for being with us. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.